Well, it's just 17 minutes to the top of the hour of 9 a.m. where the news will be coming up in English. My name is Irene Lasson. We're still continuing here with our conversations on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Well, volatility for the local currency against the dollar has continuously been a source of concern for South Sudan as the situation is greatly affecting the performance of the economy. Now, to mitigate the situation, South Sudan Central Bank announced last Friday that it will inject $8 million into the country's economy on a weekly basis. And this is an increase from the previous $5 million US dollars aimed at strengthening the local currency against the dollar. And to weigh in on this, I'm joined by Akol Nyok, an economist. Good morning, Akol. Thank you so much for making our time to speak to us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Irene.
Right. So what do you make of this move?
I think it's a positive step. And what the central bank is trying to do, actually, they're trying to ensure that there's an availability of hard currency in the market. And so by injecting $8 million every week, what they're actually doing is that they're auctioning this money to commercial banks. And these commercial banks then will buy it from the bank at a certain rate and then sell it to consumers at a certain rate. So the idea is that if they're able to auction these at a lower price than the market rate, then the market rate will go down drastically. And I think it's a positive step. And to add on to the point, the central bank governor did say that they have plans to increase it from $8 million to $13 million and then eventually $15 to $20 million. Auctioning.
Right.
So it should be a positive step.
Okay. But it's not the first time this is happening. Will this particular move serve the intended purpose?
Well, I think this the last time they were being supported by the IMF and the World Bank, and I think for that it was an issue of the parallel market versus the bank rate. Because before we had the issue where there was a bank rate, there was a rate that the central bank followed, then there was a black market rate that due to conflict and due to some of the economic situations and the global oil prices, South Sudan currency hit hyperinflation levels. But I think there's a fundamental issue here that the fundamental economic issue we must address is that what is happening in South Sudan is a reflection of the global economy. The global economy has been facing a lot of challenges in the past 2 to 3 years. First and foremost is the coronavirus pandemic, which essentially halted the global economy. I mean, you had a shutdown of people working. And now you have the issue of the Russia-Ukraine war, which has shot up oil prices and shot up commodity prices. And for South Sudan, the oil price can go up. It's a positive. But also, when the price of crude oil goes up, so does the price of refining products, like fuel, like diesel, like jet fuel, which is also a cost that goes to the consumer. And at the same time, when the cost of fuel goes up, the cost of transportation goes up. When the cost of transportation goes up, the deficit goes up. So it's a whole trickle-down in the supply chain that affects consumers.
Right. Well, the central bank blames the suspension of loans to South Sudan by IMF and the World Bank among factors contributing to the depreciation of the pound. How true is this?
Well, I think that could be a factor, but I think that's not the only factor. And I think the support that the IMF and the World Bank was giving the central bank was incredible. They're giving them support, which helped them stabilize the currency, which also helped them ensure that there's not a parallel market. As I said earlier, there's no black. But I think the bigger issue for us as an economy in South Sudan is the issue of production. We're not a very strong economy because we rely on one commodity. South Sudan's biggest export in production is crude oil. And when you rely on one commodity, you don't have different avenues of revenue. Like now the central bank could have issues of hard currency. And hard currency comes from the issue of demand and supply. For us in South Sudan, we have a high demand for USD, particularly considering the years of conflict. Many people have their families in neighboring countries. So to send them money, they need hard currency.
Right.
On top of that, we are a country that doesn't produce much. We import a majority of our goods. I think we import more than 95% of our goods because we don't have strong local production facilities. So if you really want to revive this economy in a long-term and sustainable way, you have to invest in economic diversification. You have to have an economy where we can produce locally. For example, we're able to produce goods here locally, such as agricultural commodities, such as maize and maize flour. People will buy these in SSB, and they no longer have to take USD to import it from neighboring countries.
Right.
So the fundamental issue is economic diversification.
Well, on Friday, the World Bank said that the South Sudan's economy is projected to contract by 2% this year due to the drop in the only commodity that we produce, like you say, the oil. So what does this mean for an already ailing economy?
I mean, I think when you look at 2% drop, it won't mean much for us in the economy, because in the one commodity that we produce, the 2% is not based on our production. It's just based on global oil prices and the global commodity prices. It's not a factor that we control. Whereas South Sudan can actually increase its economy up to 10-15% if it's invested in diversification. The oil sector is a sector that's also still lucrative. We can't forget that. The oil and gas sector, South Sudan still has a lot of blocks that with potential that they can explore. I mean, you're looking at a country that has the third largest oil reserves in Sub-Saharan Africa. And you're looking at almost three billion of reserves. But the key thing is that we can have a strong oil economy, but that oil economy has to be supported with agriculture,
right.
Has to be supported with livestock, has to be supported with tourism and other sectors. Because now, if you have an economy that is healthy, that has agriculture, that has fisheries, that has transportation, logistics, you have a more healthy, like they say, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
But now for us, essentially we're hostage to oil prices. The oil prices drops like in 2020 to zero, then our economy essentially drops.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a key thing where we have to look at. We can actually make this more than the negative 2%. South Sudan can grow its economy, but it has to focus on diversification projects.
Right. Now, speaking about diversification projects, does South Sudan have the strength for creating homegrown solutions to the ailing economy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I always say, South Sudan is one of the most blessed countries in the world. I'll give you an example. When we look at it in terms of food, like just simply agriculture, according to FAO, this was in 2022, they said that South Sudan can... The consumption of cereals, you're talking your rice, your sorghum, your grains, the consumption is about 1.5 million metric tons. And South Sudan is only producing about 400,000 metric tons. So if you just triple your production of these things in the next 2-3 years, you've essentially satisfied ensured food security. And South Sudan has a small population relative to its size, relative
right.
to its economic potential,
right.
and relative to its demand. So I believe that we have a lot of homegrown solutions. If we invest in agriculture, in the next 5 years, we should not import agricultural commodities anymore, meaning that sorghum, maize, wheat, rice, these are commodities we should consume locally. That money, now, when you go to the market and you buy tomatoes or onions or agricultural commodities, you're putting in somebody else's pocket who farmed it in South Sudan. And now instead of that person bringing it from Uganda or Kenya, they're producing it in their own farm. And in their farm, they're gonna, how many jobs are they going to create? How many people they get employed? Those are youth and young women and children who didn't have jobs before will have jobs. And when they have jobs, they can go and spend. So an economy is very circular. And what we need a circular economy. Right now, our economy is depending on government royalties from crude oil sales. It's depending on government on crude oil revenue. But we need an economy that's based on the production of the people. And like the Honorable Minister of Finance said in an interview last week, until we become more productive, we're not going to be able to improve our economy. So the issue is production and economic diversification.
Right. Akol Nyok, Akol, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Right. Akol is an economist, and he has been, he was weighing in on the latest move by the central bank to inject an additional $8 million into the economy. Well, we have seen this happening, but he said we need to diversify our economy. We cannot only depend on the production of oil in South Sudan, but we should also invest in agriculture, invest in tourism, and invest in production locally in the country. And until that is realized, we will keep injecting money into the economy. Of course, we do have a huge demand, like he said, of foreign currency, specifically the US dollar, because most people have their families outside the country, and then the only way to send money outside the country is of course by using a US dollars. And many people also seek medication outside the confines of South Sudan, so clearly there is going to be more need for the US dollar. But with all that, we can embark on agriculture, and by all that will be possible if the political environment is right and if the political environment is favoring to all these activities.